Usually there's some music here or something, but it's the music of the
soundtrack of
the
summer,
right?
Which comes in what, late tonight or tomorrow? Think about that. Summer.
What is today? Is today the 21st?
Today's the 20th.
No, oh, then it's tomorrow then. We'll wait till John Laughlin lets us know when it is. But we know summer sure has arrived with all the festivals. In fact, the International Festival of this week at the Black River Landing. It's the week for the International City. And Craig, you have hooked us up with two guests who could probably just take over the rest of the show for
they
us.
They could talk to each other.
Well, I don't know. Who knows how much they talk to each other? Sometimes brothers don't communicate as many as you might think. We've got David Arredondo, who joins us quite frequently when
good
we
morning.
Talk about political opinions as well. But we also have with us his brother, Joel. Good morning.
Morning, gentlemen.
All right. Tell me the history a little bit of the two of you. You're the older brother, right?
Yes.
You're the younger brother.
Middle.
We
have a third guy there that's younger than both of us.
Okay, so you're the middle child.
I'm literally in the middle because there are two sisters older than me, two sisters younger than me.
But how many Arredondos are there?
There are seven of us.
Seven, okay.
Yeah. So I'm smack dab in the middle.
And names?
Probably explain.
What are the names? For the
Oldest
to younger.
My father had the privilege of naming all the girls. So he named them Regina, Patricia, Cynthia, and Monica because his name is Apollinar with an A, and the last name is Arredondo with an A. My mother, on the other hand, she named all the guys Joel, David, and Daniel because as a young teenager, she worked as a domestic at a family on the east side, a Jewish family. So they read the Bible religiously and even went to church services. So that's where all the Joel, Daniel, and David came
in.
One other thing that's unique about all of our seven names is that our folks picked names that were spelled in English as well as in Spanish the same way, just pronounced differently. So David, Daniel, all spelled same.
Okay, I see how that works. Now, born in Lorraine?
Yeah.
Okay.
Room 222, St. Joe's Hospital. As David says, I'm the oldest of the guys. Two older sisters. He's number four, so he's right in the middle. But, yeah, we were all born and raised in South Lorraine. I always tell my kids a story. We lived in a duplex with my aunt and uncle next door. There was eight of us at the time. Our younger brother Daniel came along after we moved to a much larger house. But from day one, we learned how to share, put up with each other, I guess you could say. But the art of negotiation was very young instilled in us.
And that leads you into politics. But before we get there, David, you posted a picture this morning of you and Joel on Facebook.
Right.
Growing up, you were quite young at the time.
That was
the house he was talking about. Yeah.
That was a house on 29th Street, right off of the corner of Globe Avenue. And, of course, the steel plant was right on the next street, 28th Street. But even closer to this, or at least almost same distance, was our school. We went to Catholic school, St. Cyril Methodist, on Globe Avenue and 31st Street. For 8 years, from first to eighth grade. And it was a remarkable experience as far as shaping us in many, many ways with the Notre Dame nuns, strict disciplinarians. So we have to thank not just our parents for what we are, but also the nuns and sisters of Notre Dame. I had described to someone years ago that I went to a school that only had four classrooms. There were two grades in every classroom, and there was a dirt playground originally. They paved it later on. There was no cafeteria. There was no gym. And person asked, well, what part of Mexico did you grow up in? But that was South Lorraine. And talking about politics, there are two events that we remember very well, and they both occurred in 1960. And in 1960, presidential race was between Nixon and Kennedy. In our school, we were gung-ho, all Catholics were gung-ho on the first possible Catholic president, John F. Kennedy. So in that summer of July 1960, the Republicans had a brilliant idea of bringing Nelson Rockefeller to Lorraine. Nelson Rockefeller spoke Spanish, and they felt that if he can come and reach out to the Puerto Rican Mexican community, that it would, you know, came. He drove up to the Puerto Rican home on Vine Avenue, and Joel and I, who just lived around the corner, we says, come on down, we're going to go and go see him. So before Rockefeller left, he pressed the flesh in the crowd, and he's walking, you know, with the crowd around him, and I stuck my hand into him, and he shook my hand, and I came out and I told Joel, I says, Joel, he shook my hand. I don't know, maybe back then that was some kind of an anointing that one day I'd be a Republican, but who knows. But tell us about John F. Kennedy and our experience.
And then in the fall, when Kennedy was campaigning in Lorraine here in 1960, as David said, we went to school on 31st and Globe Avenue, so John Kennedy visited Lorraine. Matter of fact, he paraded down Broadway, went to George Daniel Field. There's a lot of documented film and photos of it, but our nuns marched all of us down, I mean the whole school, we marched down to 28th and Globe, right on the corner. There was a few of the favored watering holes were there, Greenwood Inn and Rhapsody and a Color, but they didn't care, you know, we just lined the streets, we're lined on 28th, and that was our, I guess you could say, political, social experience as kids. And we got to see him wave. We weren't as fortunate as David or, you know, to shake hands, but we did get to see him. And you talk to other kids our age, and quite a few remembered that. That was quite momentous.
Well, we have a picture of that, right? With our radio station there at that event.
One of the events or something,
yeah,
to that event.
Yeah, yeah, there sure is. I've seen a WOLC.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah. You're correct.
So what is it about Lorraine, the community that you've stayed here, that you've made it your homes, you've raised your families here?
Well, I went away to college in the mid-60s, worked in Michigan for a while. I was in restaurant business, restaurant management. But I guess everything in my case comes to family. Our family was very united. Parents were still alive, had younger siblings. Coming back to Lorraine was, I guess, maybe not, how do you say, mapped out, you know, how people say, oh, my whole life has been mapped out. But like I said, I had the experience of going away. So returning, I was very fortunate. And the reason I returned, there was a wedding, which my good buddy George was involved in. He'd asked me to be in his wedding. So I came back, and his sister Joyce, who I knew her since fourth grade and her from sixth, as David said, we all went together. So we were in the same wedding party, we weren't partners. But it just so happened that we both had job relocations here in Lorraine, her with the city of Lorraine as a city planner and myself as a restaurant management. I was still with the company, but I relocated to Lorraine, Burger Chef. If you guys ever saw Mad Men, you saw the Burger Chef ads that they were working on. But David also was in the restaurant business for a while in high school, or college rather. But I just, you know, family was here, friends, just kept gravitating. I invited Joyce out for a drink. She said, yeah, call me up sometime. So that's how basically our relationship started. So 8 years later, when her father asked if I was going to make a decision, I said, well, it's not up to me, it's up to her. We were at a Christmas dinner. So she said, well, I guess so. So that's how I firmly planted my roots here. So 35 years this year we will be married, and like I says, I live a block away here, 607 Allison, right off the lake, walk here numerous times. So president of city council now, last 10 years, so I think I'm deeply rooted in Lorraine.
How about you, David?
Well, I similar background as far as our family ties. We were very close, and continue to be a close family to this day. But I went away to college. I was fortunate enough to go to graduate school in Mexico for 2 years, the National Autonomous University of Mexico. But in my last semester at Miami University, I got to know better a young lady from Dayton who I had met a couple of years before and never really paid any attention to, other than I'd noticed her the first time I saw her in a classroom. And so just out of the blue, we strike up a friendship in this last class of mine at Miami. And we started dating from that point on. And about, she was a year younger than me, Michelle. And she followed me down to Mexico after she graduated. She had a political background to her as well. After she graduated in 1973 from Miami, she got an internship with her congressman, Bud Brown of Urbana. And Bud Brown took her to Washington. She worked for him. As a matter of fact, we were married in 1974 in Dayton, and he came to our wedding. So C.J. Brown's still running around. But I came back to Lorraine for my family, but also because I thought that if I was going to have a political career, I had to have a base for a political career, and no better base than Lorraine.
You both have seen many changes here over the years, some for the better, some for the not so better. Joel, where would you like to see the city go? What do you think the city needs to get better?
Very good question there that we've been asked this for a number of years. I know as long as I've been on council these past 10 years. I just came back from Boston area. David also, we went to our younger brother's daughter's graduation. But while we were out there, Joyce and I, my wife, we got to travel to different areas, Portland, Maine, Portsmouth, New Hampshire, Gloucester, Rockport, Massachusetts. And all three places that we visited, along with Boston, all have one thing in common. They have the river and they have the ocean. Different rivers, obviously, different states. But in talking to all the people that we went to, and my wife Joyce is very involved in historical society, she's a trustee, we went to two of the towns, primarily Portsmouth and Portland, to their historical societies, just to talk, kind of get ideas. And they all reinvented themselves. If you do any history, Google any of the cities, the towns, they're no different than Lorraine. We went through the whole renaissance of the industrial age, plus the post-industrial age, you know, the most recently, the demise of the steel plant. But same with those communities, the shipbuilding, logging, etc. But they're, frankly speaking, all flourishing. And why? Number one, the people want to do something better. Number two, tourism. And number three was the arts. And right here, we do have a tourism bureau to some extent. I know in Lorraine we do. The arts. There's been a resurgence of the arts. I know people look at it, Rockin' on the River is one, the musical arts, bringing people to the town. I bought family passes the last couple of years, and last Saturday there were over 6,000 people there. And the majority, I would venture to say, are people not from Lorraine. And when they all come in, they all are aghast at, wow, look at this place. You know, the river, the venue, the whole area. So music definitely generates the arts, tourism. And right now, Lorraine, we are under reconstruction, no doubt about it. But if you go around our housing stock, we do have some new industries coming in. We just had the Morning Journal was purchased by a company. I don't know if you read in the paper about the marijuana legislation that, once again, we sold property on the east side. And, you know, people, naturally, there's critics, you know, like, why? And my answer is, why not? What if we brought a gun factory to Lorraine? You know, what if we bought another industrial park? The whole idea is to create jobs. And we tried the casino 20 years ago. Could you imagine if Lorraine would have been the first one? We wouldn't even be talking here. Most probably you'd be talking in some high-rise or cabanas out here. But there's definitely a resurgence, young leadership, people on council, I think, that are looking forward, you know, past that negativity that, okay, we're over and done, so let's move on.
Let me add one thing to that, and Joel just touched, he did a pretty good summary of what is needed, investment, certainly planning, foresight, that sort of thing, but he mentioned young members on city council. And this is an aging community, and that's got its shortcomings because we need some new leadership. We need new people to take hold of leadership in this community, whether it's in the arts, as he says, or whether it's in our ethnic communities or in our churches. If you look at all of these institutions that are substantial institutions of the city of Lorain, you'll see that leaders are our age and even older, and we're not going to be around that many more years, so we really do need younger people, people in their 30s, 40s, even their 50s, to take a role, you know, to take part in doing the things that Joel talks about and which we know need to get done, because, you know, we've been at leadership for 40 years or so, and you know, we still will continue to do things as long as we're able to, but boy, we need other people to step in and help as well.
Well, it is the people that really can make the difference. I mean, the attitude, you talk about people who are coming from out of sort of a reflection. If you're there all the time, you don't really see it. It gets like wallpaper after a while. You're not how amazing it is. It requires other people to sort of tell you that or just remind you of the possibilities that you have there.
And one thing I failed to add, and I will add right now, is that our schools are very important. Matter of fact, after this interview, I'm going over Lorain High School. They're having a workshop on for the new CEO that's coming in. They want elected officials to get some input there. But I've always advocated, as long as Dave and our whole family, education is the key to success. All of our family, business school all the way to a doctorate, we all have our education. Our parents had the foresight to see that education is how you're going to rise and do great things. And right now we've seen what Lorain City Schools has done, currently under leadership of Dr. Jeff Graham and the school board. And moving forward, we've been dealt our cards, you know, with the school distress system. But once again, that's something that we're working through. As a salesperson, I've learned that you have to overcome the objections to be successful. No objection, no sale. The same way here, too, with David talks about leadership. I've learned also that management does is makes people do things they really don't want to do. Leadership inspires people to do things that they thought they would never do.
Two more quick things before we let you go. First for you, Joel.
Yes.
City Council is talking about sewers, the U.S. EPA mandate.
Correct.
You've been talking about it for quite a while.
Yes.
Can you tell us where this is going and what it will mean to the citizens of Lorain?
Well, number one, where it's going is that hopefully it's going where we're not going to have to pay fines plus the improvements. It's been documented the city of Akron with what they went through. They decided to challenge EPA. Fortunately, they lost, and now they're in the process of not only paying for the upgrades, but that. Last night at council meeting, it was referred to a third reading, which will be voted on in 2 weeks, first week in July at the first meeting. What it means, frankly, to the city of Lorain, Craig, is that the improvements that are well needed, well documented, and we don't have to talk about Flint, Michigan, what happened there, but that's just one area. There's many cities in the city of Lorain, the United States, that are the same. Water quality control, etc. I've always told people water supply, that's your most precious, I think even more so than money, is water. Why do communities relocate? Going back to ancient times, they were always looking for water. And we're blessed that we're sitting on the Great Lakes fresh water supply. But I'm confident City Council will, they've listened to their constituents. Can't please everybody, but what you have to do, you have to look to do the right thing, and I'm sure council will do the right thing.
And then one more thing, you guys sit on different sides of the political aisle. a very contentious presidential campaign just happened. Did you ever get into it, you know, philosophically? Do you ever debate political viewpoints or go back and forth?
We do, but, you know, not what people imagine. There are times when folks will make comments, wow, you know, that family gathering at Christmas must be pretty interesting, or nobody's sitting at the Thanksgiving table talking to each other. No, it's not that at all. Probably one of the best things to do is to avoid any controversy. I think we know where we are on certain issues, so there's no point to get into it. I'm not going to change his mind on certain things. He won't change, you know, I won't change his mind. He won't change mine. When you talk about do we ever talk, you know, people say, you guys ever talk? Almost every day, you know, there's a phone call one of us will initiate, you know, and what's going on, how we doing. We have family matters to talk about within our siblings and our kids, so forth. So, no, we get along very well as we have for 67, almost
just
67
just like
years.
The picture that you have posted, right?
Yeah,
oh
the
yeah,
picture of us. If you see it on
just
my Facebook,
just add
page,
on that, yeah. Craig. I would concur with David, but this unfortunately is something that we don't see not only on, especially on a national level. It's very disturbing. Just like right now, they are in the process of trying to revamp our health care without the Democrats involved. Like, what nonsense is that?
Well, that happened originally with Obamacare, and
no, David,
we had that line. We had that line that we have to pass the bill to find out what's in it, because that's exactly how it was crafted. There was not a single ounce of input from the Republicans. The Democrats had all the votes, and they passed it.
I beg to differ, but that's a different issue. There were many amendments made to it that the Republicans did, so please check. But the point being is that at least there was communication in the past. These last 8 years, even before that, the polarization, it's very disheartening to see that. And when you cannot, as David says, yeah, we agree on certain items, definitely. Core values. I can consider myself a conservative fiscal person. Once again, don't spend the money you don't have it. Know how you're going to get it. Think of others before that. But the whole process is we do speak, we do get together. Unfortunately, there are some families who are very divided. We've seen that in the past.
Well, we appreciate both of you coming in this morning.
Just want to remind everyone.